Please pray with me. Good and gracious God, we praise you and thank you for this day, for this time that we can center on your scriptures. Lord, this morning, for myself and for all of us here in worship, help us to set aside distractions, even the important distractions, even things that are important to us. We ask you to set them aside for just a few moments as we center in your word, that the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, comes alive, that your Holy Spirit is breathed on us through the reading and the preaching and the hearing of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're working our way through the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 19 through 29. 19 begins with, "It was evening on that day, the first day of the week." It's still Easter Sunday in Bible time. We're still on Easter Sunday. For the disciples at this point, it has become a 48-hour day. It's incredible how much is packed in this moment. From the report of the empty tomb to Mary running back and them running to the tomb and back and Jesus' appearance to Mary and then Emmaus. It has been a huge day. It has been an incredible day. Too much to take in at this point. Just too much. Now what? Now what? We continue verse 19. "The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" So, just to recap, the reason that the doors are locked, this is real live fear. This is something that is frightening. Just a few days before, Jesus was illegally arrested, had an illegal trial before the Sanhedrin, the council, had an illegal trial before the puppet king of Galilee, Herod, had an illegal trial before Rome's governor, Caesar, was scourged 40 times minus one for no reason at all. And then the crown of thorns, and we don't have to get into all of that. And then the most horrific death. The disciples feared. They were feared, not the Jews. That is not anti-Semitic. They are Semitic. They are Jews. These are the authorities who did all these atrocities and illegalities. These are the people they are frightened of because they could be next. The disciples know they could be next, so the doors are locked. This is a very real fear. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Christ is with us no matter what doors we lock. Christ in the physical presence is one with us. No matter what barriers we put up, no matter what storms we think are between he and us, no matter what doors are locked, Christ always comes to us where we are at. So in terror, frightened of every step they hear on the stairs, the disciples find Jesus in this hugely surprising way. Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." The writer, the evangelist John, is very careful here to use the word disciple. They're still learners. So the disciples are there together. And Jesus says an everyday greeting, shalom, peace. But this word is packed with so much meaning with the risen Lord standing in their midst. Shalom aleichem, well-being, personal wholeness, personal wellness, perfect relationship with God that is a God-given gift that you don't deserve. Shalom. It is a statement of fact. God was with you in peace. God is with you in peace. The Lord will be with you in peace. You don't know how much my MS Word hates that expression, "the Lord be with you." I get that green line every time because it just, Microsoft just can't imagine a God who was and is and always will be in peace together with us. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. This isn't a ghost. This is Jesus. And he gifts the disciple with the very thing that later will condemn Thomas for. Jesus shows them his wounds. Jesus shows them that he is real. The marks of the crucifixion are clear. This is Jesus who was scarred and crucified standing in front of them. Jesus can and will do anything to meet us where we're at. Locked doors, death, resurrection, no barriers between us and Jesus. He will come to us in any time and always. Then the disciples rejoiced, verse 20. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. We have no idea how the disciples reacted until he showed them his hands and his side. But this moment of disclosure turns fear into joy. Only after they see and maybe inspect are they joyful. Now they are celebrating. Then he said to them again, "Peace be with you." He repeats, "Shalom." He said it again because probably the first time he said it, they didn't hear him. How could you hear that? This is Jesus. All of a sudden, the doors are locked. Here's Jesus standing in front of you saying, "Peace be with you. Here's my wounds. I'm real." And he said something. What was it? You know, we do it all the time. What? And so he gifts them once more with the shalom of God. Peace, shalom, shalom aleichem. Perfect wholeness, oneness, well-being with God that we don't deserve, but God has gifted us, does gift us, and will always gift us with the peace of his presence. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now Jesus turns this from fear to joyful celebration. Now we have a solemn commissioning. Jesus seriouses them right up just in that moment. As the Father has sent me, as the Father has apostled me, so I send you, apostello, apostle, so I send you. Now they move from being disciples, literally learners. Now they are apostles, the sent of God. The disciples, the learners, are transformed into apostles. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. But he doesn't send us out alone. He doesn't send us out in the midst of our fear. He sends us out. When he said these things, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus breathes on the apostles and recreates them. The story of creation is the Holy Spirit's breath, the Ruach of God. How fun is that to say? The Ruach of God is God's breath over the wildness of the earth. And then when God creates the human beings, he breathes into Adam's nostril, the man's nostril, the phoné, the breath of God. And here Jesus is doing just that. Just as God created with the breath of God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus recreates the apostles with the breath of God and gives them eternal life. This is the paraclete, the paracletus, the guide, the companion, the leader that Jesus promised just a few days before at the Last Supper. Maybe they forgot about that. Maybe it was in the back of their head wondering about all that. But here is the Holy Spirit. Jesus literally gives them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Breathes new life into them. In the vision that Ezekiel has in the Valley of the Dry Bones, one who is identified as a son of man gives prophecy. "Hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath, spirit to enter you, and you shall live." Now the son of man gives us, fresh from the tomb son of man, gives us new breath. And that new breath, we live in him forever. Jesus goes on. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Having given them now the gift of the Holy Spirit, he turns them into church. right in this moment. This church is rooted in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the shalom of God, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That is who we are as church. As church, we convey the message of God's presence in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us, and the forgiveness of God for all people. We are different than a social group. I want you to know that. I want you to really internalize that. We have great fun here at Covenant Church. Oh my gosh. Yesterday from 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, I had fun with the men of the church and the women of the church, and I was just having a ball. But we are different. We are different. We are here, called and commissioned, sent apostles to preach, to teach, to show God's forgiveness, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, to live in God. And as Spider-Man's uncle told us, with great power comes great responsibility. It is our duty, it is the duty of the church to convey Christ's forgiveness, to live into Christ's forgiveness even when we don't want to. Take a breath. Now we go to Thomas. But Thomas, who's called the twin, one of the 12, was not with Jesus, was not with them when Jesus came. Don't read into any fanciful explanation. We don't know. He's at the DMV getting his license plates. We don't know. But it's important that we take this whole section as it is. Read what's there. Don't read what we think is there. Don't read what we've always been told is there. Just read what's there. So, the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas asked the same question we're going to see in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the Ethiopian is driving down the road and he's reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And he says, "How am I to know these things?" And Philip the evangelist appears. And he says, "It's talking about Jesus, who's Lord." And Philip and the Ethiopian says, "Huh?" Needs it explained. "How am I to know these things?" So the apostles are telling Thomas. It's the same question the Ethiopian asked. "How am I to know these things?" And the apostles are telling him these things. But Thomas says to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." This is where Thomas gets his bum rap. Doubting Thomas. No, not at all. He's just following the same pattern that we follow, that followed since the beginning of the church. It's a pattern of disciples not getting it, not understanding, not doubting, but can't get it. Matthew 28:17. When they saw him, the risen Christ, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Mark 16:14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So this is a pattern we have. We don't all just come to faith in an instant. We have our doubts. We have our wonders. We'll get to that, back to that in a second. But here Thomas says, "I'm not going to believe until I do this." And Thomas, look who we're talking about. This is not a lukewarm believer. This isn't just one of the rabble who is kind of, "I'm not sure about this whole thing." This is Thomas who says in John 11, "Let us go that we may die with him." He loved Jesus so much. He trusted Jesus so much that he was willing to go to Jerusalem to die with him. When Jesus says, "Where I am going, will I not prepare a place for you?" It's Thomas who yells out, "But Lord, where is that place? I want to be there with you." So Thomas is very much a rabid, emotional believer. But he says to the apostles, "Unless Jesus does for me what he did for you, show me his hands and his side, I don't know about all of this. I only want what's coming to me. I only want what I deserve. Same thing you guys got." Isn't that us? And it reminds me of Charlie Brown Christmas. Remember Sally's writing her Christmas list and she wants 10s and 20s? And she says, why not? I only want what's coming to me. I only want what I deserve. That's us. And that's what Thomas is reflecting here. So it's a week later, and Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. 8 days. Day of Resurrection, Sunday. Here is where we see the Sabbath is baptized. Sabbath for the Jewish believers is sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, but Day of Resurrection is Sunday, the eighth day. So that's why today is Sabbath. Today is our Day of Resurrection. Today is our gathering. Verse 26. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them. Catch that. It's a different verb. The doors aren't locked this time. They're shut. The doors are shut, but having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the apostles are no longer cowering in this room. Acts 1 tells us that when they're together, they do exactly what we do. We talk to each other. We fellowship. We enjoy each other. We read the scriptures. We break open the scriptures, and we sing hymns of praise. That's what they're doing in that room. We know that from Acts 2. Acts 1. I'm going to get it right. It's Acts 1. And Jesus comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you. Shalom aleichem." Even for you, Thomas. Personal wellness, well-being, perfect relationship with God. Then Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Jesus offers to Thomas only that which he's offered to the other disciples. That's all. This is another example of Jesus meeting us where we are. And that's our example. We can't meet people in Jesus Christ where we think they should be, or where they should be, or where we want them to be. Jesus meets Thomas here where he is. And that's our example. Verse 27, "Do not doubt, but believe." This is half an appeal, half a rebuke of Thomas. Don't persist in your unbelief, become a believer. Don't persist in your unbelief, become a believer. How many altar calls have we heard like that? Don't persist in your unbelief. Come up if you accept Jesus in your life today. But they don't tell us how. I know you can't manufacture faith, but we can work through it. We can study the Bible together. We can study the Bible on our own. We can pray for each other that we may come to believe. We fellowship. We have fun together. The women's thing was so much fun yesterday because it wasn't intense. We were there as believers in the same room, talking about our lives and witnessing to Jesus. Those are obvious. How are we to know these things, as the Ethiopian asks? We talk to each other. We pray for each other. We are with each other. And one of the cool things about all of this, "But do not doubt but believe," is that all of us don't believe strongly all the time. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I follow him. But where Jesus wants me to go sometimes, I shake in my boots. And it's then I look to my wife and borrow her faith. It's then I look to my friends and borrow their faith. There are days when I know where God is and who God is, and I'm strong in that. And others borrow from me. Just this week, my wife forwarded me a thing from Facebook. "A relationship isn't always 50-50. Some days you will struggle. And you suck it up and pick up that 80-20 relationship that you need. That's love. And that's the love God has given us as church members. There are times when I'm the 80 and someone else is the 20. Most of the time I'm the 20 and others are the 80. We fellowship together. We worship in his name. We study the word. We pray. We sing. We fellowship. Okay. "Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus invites Thomas, "Stick your fingers in. Nowhere, not in any gospel, not anywhere, does it say Thomas leaned in and poked him. It doesn't say that. Not in any Bible. Verse 28, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." We come now to the climax of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now, all the way 20 chapters later, through death and resurrection, "My Lord and my God." This is the affirmation that this man, Jesus Christ, is God. This is my Lord, the one I whom all allegiance. This is my Savior, the one who has saved me from sin and death forever. This is my deity. This is my God. And our risen Christ belongs to me. Our risen Christ is witnessed to by believing Thomas. And Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet have come to believe." Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is talking to you here. Blessed are you. He gives you his blessings today. Did you hear that? Jesus blesses you today. Nothing can be more encouraging than that assurance of faith that we are saved, though we are eons from the baby Jesus of Nazareth. This is not a proverb. Blessed are those who... This is a proverb. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. It's a proverb, but it is a promise. It is a promise. It's your promise that you are now apostles. You are now the sent ones of God. Having believed, now you are sent to work in his name, study his word, pray it to him, fellowship in his name. All done, and you can do all this because of the shalom aleichem, the shalom of God. God has blessed you with his peace and love and fullness from before you were ever imagined, in this moment in time, right now, and forever and ever. You are in the peace of God. You belong in the shalom of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We take up his healing, his forgiveness, his loving and ministry now and forever. Amen. One of the ways we take up his ministry is welcoming new members to our church. The day we welcomed other new members, Chuck Knoefel was ill that day. So on behalf of the session, I present Chuck, who has been received in membership to this congregation by our session, by transfer from the Montezuma Valley Presbyterian Church in Cortez, Colorado. Chuck, we rejoice in the gifts you bring as you join us in the worship and service of this congregation. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, share in ministry and in worship through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be an apostle of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number this brother in faith. Together, may we live in your spirit, and so love one another, that we may have the mind of Christ our Lord, to whom we honor and give glory forever. Amen. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.